Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Calls on a Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you about the Seer's School on God's Imagination. The Seer's School on God's Imagination. And this is actually taken from one of my newest books called According to the Heavenly Pattern, The Seer's School on God's Imagination. That's According to the Heavenly Pattern, The Seer's School on God's Imagination. Now, one of the things that I've noticed within this time frame in which we live in here in 2015 is understanding that God is trying to get through our heads, okay? Our natural heads as far as what the Eternals is wanting to say. Now, we have to stop to realize that God lives in a realm called the spirit realm, as we know, and that spirit realm actually has the Eternals in it, the unlimitedness of God, the fathom of the mysteries and the secrets that actually have been stored up waiting on someone on this earth to begin to ask and it shall be given, to begin to seek and find, to begin to knock and watch the door be open, to have a little bit slight understanding, a little bit more understanding to what it is that these Eternals, this mystery of secrets and mysteries locked up in the heavens in the spirit realm are trying to say to us. And so we have to remember that we think of God as this, you know, our Father, our friend, our comforter, our strength, our wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. We think of God in those terminologies, and we think to ourselves, God just speaks to us. He just speaks on our level. He speaks our language. When He speaks to us, we just get it. We understand, and either we obey or we don't obey. But the reality of it is, folks, is that's not always true. God is not so quote-unquote sort of buddy pal with you in the sense of just talking to you like a buddy or pal. Now, is God, you know, Victorian when He speaks, or Elizabethan, whatever you want to call it? No. He's not religious in terminology. But God actually is going to speak from the eternal realm, where everything He says is going to be spoken not out of a limitation, but out of an unlimitation. Now, I use those terminologies a lot because we have to come to the realization that God Almighty, you know, says in His Word that my thoughts are not going to be your thoughts, and therefore my ways, in other words, the ways that I do things, are totally not even your ways at all. And so therefore, if God lets us know that His thoughts are far more advanced than our thoughts, that means God just is not going to speak to us on a level we're just going to get it. That's why God made it very plain in His Word. He said, here's the clues, God, guys. Here's the clue of what it is it's going to take for you to understand the Eternals. What it's going to take for you to understand my language. Now, when I say limitation versus unlimited, we have to begin to understand what that means exactly. And without really getting technical about it, let me just put it to you a little bluntly. And that is this. From a humanistic point of view, our minds are catered to our upbringing, okay? And the way we were raised, every one of us that are listening this broadcast, the way every one of us were raised, we were all raised in a way in the earth realm where we're always going to hear words of limitation, which means not just do's and don'ts, but let's say, for example, our parents, our peers, our teachers, our friends, our foes, our enemies, TV, satellite, radio, everything and anything you will hear on planet earth will always be spoken out of a type of limitation, which means we're not talking about necessarily don't do this and do this, and you're not capable of doing this, you're not smart enough, bright enough, you know, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're ignorant, you know, you're brilliant, you're wise. We're talking not even on that level, folks. And so you're dealing with a level where you hear these terminologies and these statements constantly, do we not? I mean, we're surrounded by people, much less ourselves, which can be our own worst enemy sometimes, of these type of limitational words. But yet, when I'm talking limitational words, I'm talking about even outside of 85% of everything I just quoted to you, of all the do's and don'ts, what you're smart about, what you're not smart about, you know, what side of the town were you raised on will depend on really if you make it or break it in life, and it's really who you know, not really, you know, just the fact that you just being that can make you successful. It's all of these things, but the other part I'm talking about outside of that 80% or 85% of all the negative words and negative limitations that are placed on you that you receive and impregnate yourself with, outside of that, we're also talking about the realm of words that are limited in the sense of, for example, when I think of store, let me give you a couple of natural words to help you understand. When I think of the word store, okay, I am not going to think from a limited point of view of having everything in that store imaginable that I could ever ask or think. I'm going to think from a limited mindset when I use the word store, and I'm going to think of it from a standpoint of, you know, some things that I can find there. That I can find, you know, things at the store that, you know, I'm hoping I'm out of. I hope they have plenty of this in stock, you know, and what is that limitation? Because I'm automatically thinking, I hope they have plenty of this in stock. You know, that's not unlimited. That is, I hope they have enough for me. You know, everything from that type of analogy, everything from that type of thinking and terminology is going to let you know that I'm still thinking from a limited point of view. If I use the word eyes, for example, if I say, you know, eyes and ears, what do you start thinking about instantly? Instantly, you're going to get a vision or picture, I should say, or you're going to just automatically know you have two eyes, two ears. And so there's your limitation. And so when you're dealing with the fact of God, we can even read in the book of Revelation where it deals with a beast that had, you know, all these different eyes, you know, and we could say eyes in the back of the head and eyes in the front of the head. And so you're dealing with God is saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are unlimited to the point where you can't even count them. You can't even fathom. No ear is heard, no eye is seen, it hasn't even entered into your heart, the things that I've prepared for you. Why? Because you think from a limited point of view, and I'm using this, God would say to you, I'm using this from a point of view that is so unlimited and so eternal that you can't even fathom because you're so used to automatically putting a border upon everything you say. There's borders around every word that we use. There are borders around everything that we hear because we live in a natural world. Now, most of us don't really stop to think about that from that point of view. Do we not? But when we're dealing with the eternals and we're dealing with the unlimitedness of the voice of God, we have to remember that God always speaks from that type of level of unlimited. Okay, that type of no borders, no boundaries, just total, not even counting the number. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, in different places as far as, you know, there were so many that you couldn't even count the number of this and that. And so you see of so many verses and so many things, especially in the book of Revelation, you know, the sea of people. Why a sea of people? Because they couldn't even be numbered. And so you're looking at so many different things where it's just, don't even waste your time thinking a million, a zillion, a billion, because there's not even a number or a word that would fit the category of a percentage of people or a percentage of this or a percentage of that. And so we have to stop to realize that when God said, look, I don't think on your level, we have to remember God does not think on our level. And so therefore, when we're thinking about the seer school and God's imagination, what are we talking about? And this is just one point out of hundreds and hundreds of points within this book that I want to talk to you about within the book. And one of the things today in the broadcast is this one subject I want you to target on to think about for a moment. And that is not only about that situation, but we're dealing with the fact of what does it mean on God's school of seers on God's imagination. What are we dealing with when we're saying the seer school on God's imagination? Are we dealing with natural seers in the sense of prophets are only seers and, you know, type of thing? Or are we dealing with the idea that we all have an eye to see and an ear to hear, that point of view? I'm thinking from the standpoint for you that you need to realize you are a seer, not the office of the seer, not a seer in a capital S point of view, but a seeing realm you have the ability to view into. Why? Because you have eyes to see and ears to hear, if you choose to. Okay? So everyone has this seeing ability in them because we have the Holy Spirit in us, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. You know, we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, how does a mind work? A mind is based on the information it receives by what it sees, information on based on what it hears. And so the mind of Christ, guess what? Here's the coolest thing about the mind of Christ, is when we receive the mind of Christ, it's already jam-packed, if I can even use that terminology, because actually there's no such thing as being jam-packed in the mind of Christ, because there's not really an overflow because of the fact it's just unlimited. And so there's not really a quantity of even saying it's full, it's jam-packed, it's got too much information, not enough information. You can't even use those terminologies when it deals with the mind of Christ. And so we're dealing with being given and being a possessor of the mind of Christ that the Bible tells us to, and that is that it comes with the source of life. the energy, the anointing, the power, the knowledge, the wisdom, the everything you could ever imagine or think possible of anything you could ever think. Guess what? It is full of that. It's got everything on that and more. And so because of that, we have to look at that and say, okay, now because of that, then we're trading a limited mind for an unlimited mind. And so when I get this new mind of Christ, imagine having surgery. Let's say you've got a brain transplant, and all of a sudden you've got this new mind, that you've never had before. And yet we automatically think to ourselves, okay, I'm renewing my mind to think like the mind of Christ. What does that mean? So I've got this seeing ability. What does it mean? It means God is letting you know. It doesn't mean that you're going to automatically know everything. It means that you have the capability to finally ask and it shall be given, and to seek, which and you're going to be able to receive, which means the more that you seek out for something, that you have to remember that mind in you already has the answer, already has the solution. The mind of Christ in me has not just the solution to build a corporation, but to build every building that planet Earth has ever known, back from the cave days, back to all the way up until if we live to be in the year 2095 or 3095. It doesn't matter however long that we're here on planet Earth left, that it houses every architectural design, every measurement, every detail. It houses everything that creation could possibly ever have ever experienced, or ever could experience, or ever will experience, which means it is so unlimited that there's nothing truly impossible that I can never not do. There's nothing impossible for me to ever not accomplish. There's nothing too impossible for me to ever get done, because it houses that information, that database of everything from Earth to heaven. And so because of that, it's not the fact of saying I got to renew my mind that I might gain this answer, or I might hopefully come across the right, just the amount of this and that I need in my life. No, God doesn't want you to look at that and say, I just need just the right amount, God. And I know having the mind of Christ, I look at Pentecostals versus Charismatics, and a lot of times a part of me thinks, I think the Pentecostal move sometimes just degrades and puts down and sort of just diminishes this power that we've been given by Christ, this amazing opportunity of the mysteries of Christ in us, the hope of glory, because we're so focused on barely getting by. We hear testimonies in the Pentecostal move of, I just thank God I have shoes on my feet and a shirt on my back. And I was about to say, that is just like a slap in the face in Christ. It's just, it's almost, can I use the word disgusting? Is that a good word to use, okay, with you guys on the radio? It's borderline disgusting, because it's that place of saying, that this is the best that the mind of Christ I claim to have can do for me. And yet you're thinking to yourself, you've got the valuable riches that is so worth more than anything you've ever, that's more costly than anything you've ever imagined, or anyone on earth. If you put all the money on earth together, all the money combined of the millions upon billions and trillions of dollars that's here on earth that couldn't even fathom, you have that as the mind of Christ in you, and that's the best you can do is quote unquote give God praise for that. When God says, I'm above and beyond, I'm a God of above and beyond, I'm not into your one shoe pair of shoes or Nikes, I'm not into your one shirt that happen has a hole in it, you're going to give God praise for. I'm into abundance. And are we talking about natural things? No, folks. We're talking about everything. Everything spiritually, soulishly, naturally, mentally, economically, relationally. We're talking about the value and the worth of something that is beyond anything I could ever imagine or think possible. That's the kind of God we serve. And so when I use the word disgusting, I know that sounds a little bit sort of harsh, and please forgive me for using that word, but it borderline is disgusting, because it's basically degrading something that you have. It's like having a huge rock of gold in your hand that is worth, let's say for example, $50 million, and you're sitting here going, oh, I just thank God I got enough gas in my in my little moped to make it to work today. It's disgusting, because you're degrading the rock that you have that's valuable in your hand, when God says, is that really what you think of me? Is that really what you think of what I've died to give you? That's what you think of me? And so once again, pardon my expression about that, but it's that place of Folks, we've got to get into kingdom mentality, kingdom mindset. Get off this Pentecostalism. Pentecostal did some good, but it's doing so much damage now because it's bringing such a degrading false humility when God says, I'm a God of overflow. I'm a God that does above and beyond. I'm a God that just, you know, by the span of my hand, I just cast the stars into the atmosphere and into space. I mean, I'm that powerful. And so you're talking about a God who dwells inside of me. That's worth more, folks, than just giving Him praise for pair of shoes and one pair of socks on my feet. It's a lot more worth than that. So let's not be disgusting. Let's be thankful, and let's be thankful for what it is that we now are possessors of, which is the unlimitedness. The fullness of the Bible says the fullness of the stature of the Godhead. We have the Godhead inside of me. Do you realize that, folks? You have the Godhead inside of you who says, I am here to move in your imagination. And that's why God made it plain in His Word. You know, He says, cast down vain imagination. You hear several scriptures in the Bible that deal with negative imaginations, about how you got to get rid of them, you got to cast them down, they're evil, the imagination of the heart, I mean, all this other different stuff. Why? Why would God say that? Is God saying your imagination is evil? No, what He's saying is be careful, because in the power of the imagination is where the images are stored. Listen to me now. In the power of the imagination is where the images are stored. And why is that so important for me? Because the image images I store on my computer are in the database until I deliberately erase them, get rid of them, put them in the trash, and delete them for good. They're in there. And when I have images in my imagination, okay, in the mind that I possess, when I have images in my imagination, what I'm doing is I'm tarnishing, and I'm, if I can use the word taint, I'm sort of tarnishing and tainting the actual power source that of the unlimited in me, because all these images that are in my brain of anything of this natural world is so limited that it can drown out the unlimited in me, and I can actually stop myself from utilizing the power source of God's energy, God's strength, God's imagination, God's unlimitedness of the heavenlies that God desires for me to move into, to walk into, to have, and to breathe in. In Him we live, we move, we have our being. There's a lot of movement in God, folks. A lot of movement in God. And if there's a lot of movement in God, that means it's time for me to start seeing some more places that I need to walk as opposed to the places I've been walking. Okay? And here's, you know, when people ask me a lot, people say, Jeremy, you know, and I have to hear this a lot because our ministry has, it explodes so much every day. I'm talking, we get so extremely busy, and it's been so overwhelming, the number of schools and courses and books that we sell daily. I mean, my staff is like, man, we're just like so slammed every day, which is an amazing thing, and they love it. They're glad that God is prospering people because of the fact that we're filling their minds full of information and revelation in our courses that are not dealing with stuff of barely getting by and, you know, hey, just deal with this right here and you know, just be patient. And no, we're dealing with the aspect of kingdom. We're dealing with the aspect of kingdom. Kingdom speaks on a volume, folks, where you are sons of the Almighty God. Kingdom speaks of who you really are. And it doesn't deal with the fact, one thing people tell me is, tell me your theology. And one thing I tell people about my life and about the books that I write, including the one I'm talking about today, is my theology is I believe that we are sons of the Almighty God. And when Jesus said I'm the firstborn among many brethren, that means I'm a son like Jesus is a son. I'm a son just like Jesus is a son. He just happens to be the only begotten son. I'm not the only begotten son, but I am still a son of God. And knowing that He goes before me, I go right behind Him. Why? Because I'm worthy enough because of what Jesus did for me to go behind Him and say, hold your head up high, son. Everything in my kingdom belongs to you. We can see that from everything from the prodigal son to everything. Everything that I've ever had, it already belongs to you. So don't sit here and try to give me a false humility to ask and beg, oh God, please, if it be thy will, that I have this. When God said, no good thing will I withhold from those that walk uprightly. All good things flow down from the Father of lights, and in me there's no shadow of turning. And so I deal with kingdom people. So my theology is, you know what? I like to hold my head up high in the true humility of God to say, you know, God, it's all about you. But because of what you've done for me, I'm not going to neglect the fact that you wish above all things I would prosper and be in good health even as my soul prospers. So I will fight the good fight of faith to know that anything and everything I need to accomplish on this world, I can achieve, I can do. I can own corporations. God has no issue with me being rich. God has no issue with me owning corporations. He has no issue with me, you know, being a missionary like Heidi Baker, like Mother Teresa, you know, in Zimbabwe or India or different places, you know, and have nothing. God has no issue with that. He has no issue at all with anything we have or don't have, as long as what we have does not possess us. And I say this a lot in my financial courses. God has no issue with what you have as long as what you have does not possess you. Other than that, that's when it becomes a false idol and God wants it gone. And when you begin to live by that protocol, by that principle, by that organizing and that prioritizing in your life to say, God could care less how rich I am, what I own or what I don't own, spiritually. Let me just back up and tell you guys this, okay? Spiritually and naturally. So I want to throw in the spiritual because I want people to understand it's not just about natural, it's about the spiritual aspect of you folks. If you're prospering naturally and you're not prospering spiritually, I have news for you. You're a false balance. You're just as wrong and as evil as, because the Bible says a false balance is an abomination before the Lord. So you're just as an abomination as someone who has tons of money and yet prospers none in the spirit. If you are prospering spiritually and you don't have anything in the natural, I'm sorry folks, according to the Bible, you're a false abomination. When you don't have anything, you're a false abomination. When you don't have anything spiritually, you're a false abomination. So God says a false balance. So therefore God says be balanced in the area that I want you to prosper, unlimited in spirit and natural. Okay? So I want to sort of clear the air for that because I want you guys to know what kind of teachings you're going to get from this ministry. And that's why we're exceeding above our quotes every day, everything that we put before the ministry, I put before the ministry, we outgrow that every day. And that's why, because people are hungry for the truth that sets them free to know the fullness, the totality of what Christ did for you on that cross, that you may have life and have it more abundantly in every area. You know? And so, so you look at that situation and you think to yourself, so we're dealing with God's imagination. All this involves God's imagination, which means that if God said negative things about imagination and casting it down, it doesn't mean that the imagination is bad. It doesn't mean God says don't even fool with it. What God is letting you know is other scriptures that talk about how powerful the imagination is. And that is, God knows that when you get the mind of Christ in you, that you get the imagination with the correct images of God and the images of the unlimited, the images of the eternals, the images of seeing you how God sees you. Do you hear what I'm saying? How God sees you. And when you get that image, that unlimited image of knowing, and I say this a lot because it's so true. It's an old saying, but it's so true. And that is that you are a spirit, an unlimited, powerful, borderless spirit, having a human, which is border, boundary, natural living. Have a human experience. When you realize that you first and foremost are spirit, and that spirit man that you are houses everything of what I talked about earlier, from the Alpha to the Omega of creation, that everything that ever is, everything that ever has been or ever was or ever will be, you house inside of you because it's Christ in you. And what did I say earlier? It is the Godhead dwells inside of you. So God doesn't just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you my son, but I'm not worthy enough to be inside of you. I'm going to give you my son, but I'm not worthy enough to, or you're not, excuse me, you're not worthy enough to be able to take my spirit. God says, look, here's the deal. Whether you believe in the Trinity or not, it doesn't matter. God is letting you know you have all of us inside of you. You have everything the kingdom of God has. Okay? I don't get hung up on stupid doctrines and theology. I get hung up on God. And so however God is, as far as mysterious or mystery, and three and one, one and three, one, whatever, I don't care. Bottom line is, you know what? We've got it all, folks. We've got it all. We've got all of it in the kingdom of God because of what God is and what God has done. And so through all of that, God is letting you know you have it all inside of you. And that means that we've got to get the right images in the imagination of the God-conscious mind inside of us, which is, don't get hung up on the word conscious, folks. If you know my stuff, you'll know consciousness is a powerful word, and you function every day out of your conscious mind. And so when we're dealing with the seer school on God's imagination, we're dealing with it's time for you to start seeing with your spiritual senses and understanding what those spiritual senses are, which I talk about within my book, understanding the reality of the true perspective or the true perspective perception you should have of from a God point of view. And so many people miss this. If I could sit down the whole body of Christ, not that I have the truth, because we all are trying to attain to the truth, but if I could sit everyone down, here's what I would say. I would say, folks, here's the reality of it. When we come together in precious like faith, when we come together, we've got to remember that we're all going to, getting the renewed mind. We're all moving from a different standpoint of having different beliefs and different doctrines and different whatevers. But here's the reality of it, is our perception is pretty much still the same. Because your perception is one of the hardest things for you to break. And what I call the inner eye, which don't get hung up on that. I've heard people, say, oh, this is new age. Don't get hung up on the word inner eye, okay? Because I don't want nobody to go there with me. When I say inner eye, I'm talking about your spirit man. That's all I'm talking about, okay? So terminologies, don't get hung up on terminologies. It's just your spirit man. Because guess what, folks? Whether you realize it or not, your spirit man sees. Hello. And that is what I call the inward part of your seeing. So whatever you want to call it, to where you won't think it's sort of new age or whatever, call it what you want. But, and I'm just not religious. I'm just totally not religious. I'm God. I'm God. Okay? I'm in God. I don't have time for religion. So I call it the inner eye, the spirit man, the spirit, whatever you want to call it, who cares? Because bottom line is your spirit man is the one that truly needs to see. And having a human experience, being from the aspect of the awakened part of you being a true spirit clothed in a body, you have to remember that through that, the real you that needs to be seeing is from a spirit point of view, okay? And because of that, we've got to change our natural perception to start seeing things differently, because your perception is based on how you were raised, which means you've already determined your terminologies, your definitions, your this, your that, and yet God is letting us know, this is what I talk about in the book, God is letting us know that we've got to come to that place where we are seeing from a different angle. We're seeing life through the imagination of God through a different angle, through a different set of lenses, which means we no longer can see by how we were raised. Let me give you a great example for those who, since we're on that subject of New Age, let me give you a great example on this issue, okay, on this area. Let's say, for example, and many of you have heard me, if you're really just sort of followers of the ministry, you'll understand what I'm about to say, because I like to say this a lot, because I like to be able to really educate our listeners and educate them by our courses, our books, and our programs, and our podcasts, so we can sort of get over religiosity and get onto the kingdom stuff. And one of the things I like to say is terminologies, for example, like when you call God energy. Here's a great example. We can say, when people say, ooh, don't call God energy. But here's the reality of it, folks. I thought the Bible says that God is in everything. That's what the New Testament says. God, quote unquote, God is in everything. Everything was made by Him and for Him. Without Him, there's not anything made that was made. Another verse goes on to talk about how God works in things, through things, because He is in all things. So if God is in all things, who is the creator and who is the possessor of energy? God. The devil didn't make energy. If the devil made energy, then when we turn on our light bulbs, guess what? You're turning on the enemy. When you turn your light switch on in your living room, you're turning on Satan. You see what I'm saying? And see how ridiculous that sounds? Because energy is a powerful word. And you know what? We're learning from a scientific point of view how energy is just amazing, and how energy is through the universe and it's in creation. And if you look at it from a scientific point of view, you think of the fact that we're a light and energy slowed down into matter. So you see it from that point of view, that guess what, folks? If energy is of the devil, then you're of the devil, because you're made up of energy and light. And yet, people always say, man, I got a bad vibe in front of that guy. We're not being New Age. You're saying you got a bad feeling in front of that guy. Why? Because you just sit here and you realize that, spiritual, and you can use your Christianese terminology. I like to use Christianese terminology. A friend of mine laughed last week, and he said, I never heard that terminology, Christianese. And I said, well, then you don't know Doug Addison and myself, because we like to use the word Christianese language, because in Christianese language, for those of you that happen to be holier than thou, we would say, that just sort of, that just, I need discernment, because that just sort of rubs my spirit the wrong way, and I feel the enemy. Whatever terminology you want to use to sort of make it religious, sort of religious it up, you can say what you want to. But bottom line is, you're just feeling something around that person that is just not good. You can call it energy, you can call it vibration, you can call it whatever you want. But the reality of it is, folks, you're sensing something that someone's putting off, that is just not really conducive to where it is that you're going and what it is you're wanting to be in God. And so you see that when you're a room full of people that are negative, really negative, and here you are trying to be positive, folks, whatever you want to call it, it's a scientific proof that we can sense the vibration of other people. We can sense that energy. And it's just facts. It's not religious. It's not religion. It's just facts. That's how cool God is when he made creation. And so the reality of it is we can look at that, for example, and we can say, ooh, you know, that's just new age. That's this and this. Or we can look at it from a non-religious point of view as sons of the Almighty God and say, that's just life, as scientific proofs. Now let's move on to something else. And so when you hear that terminology, you have to remember that when we're dealing with the seer school and God's imagination, we're dealing with the aspect of our perception. We're dealing with the aspect of what? Changing our perception. How is it that you were raised to believe of certain words, certain terminologies, certain things that when you look back, I had so many people tell me that now that they look back from 2 or 3 years later and say, oh, Jeremy, I am so sorry. I gave you or I gave, you know, Doug Addison or I gave so-and-so a hard time because, man, I really hit them hard saying they were just really off in God for using this terminology. And I realized just how dumb I was at the time. And I said, well, it wasn't the fact you were dumb. You were just almost borderline closed-minded. But we've all been there. We've all been that place where we lacked knowledge, and we learn as we go. And so that's why I'm saying within the book, I'm going to teach you more about God's perception, because you need to understand from the spirit point of view within inside of you, your spirit, ma'am, seeing through God's perspective, understanding how you can take that perspective of how God sees things. Now, God actually doesn't have a perception, so to say, because God doesn't need a perception. Most people don't even think about that on that level. God doesn't need a perception. But yet, when I use the terminology seeing from God's perspective or God's perspective on reality, I'm just basically saying we've got to see it from how God sees things, how God views things, and how God determines the definition of things in our lives. Think about that for a moment. And let's just face it, folks, is that not actually the nitty-gritty of life? Is that not actually the foundational base level of what our problem is in the body of Christ already? Is it not? That's why we argue, we fight, we do this because we disagree with people, because it's how I view things and how you view things. And so this book will change your life. If I had 3 hours, folks, I would love to take up more time on the broadcast to sort of, you know, talk this book through, you know, the broadcast to let you guys understand about what all this means. And I'm telling you, folks, this book will set you free. I promise you. I have had so many people who actually are seers as far as prophets. I've had so many people who are not, but know that they're seeing, you know, because we're all called to see as Christians and the sons and daughters of God, and how they've all said, this book, Jeremy, has really changed my life, and I've learned that we do have spiritual senses, and I've learned to see a little bit more of how God sees things and how God's timing really is, and the senses that we should possess to know what, you know, how to see things through God's point of view. And so this book will totally change your life. Now, I have an ebook and a book on this book. And once again, the book is called According to the Heavenly Pattern, The Seer's School on God's Imagination. So if you can remember According to the Heavenly Pattern, then guess what? You've got it. The subtitle, again, of course, is The Seer's School on God's Imagination. I would encourage you, go to the website. Get it today, folks, because now I will honestly tell you, a lot of the books that I have out, I actually have 27 books out. Can you believe it? 27 books right now. I'm actually releasing two of them in the next 2 months, dealing with the Genesis Effect. It was one of my favorites. I cannot wait for that one to come out. The Genesis Effect. That's going to deal with creation inside of you, how you jumpstart creation inside of you, the same way God did. I'm going to go into a lot of different cool stuff. I'm also going to talk about more of an in-depth book on the power of dreams that even my other book didn't even touch on. And so I've got a lot of different things coming out. But let me tell you, throughout time, I do take some of my books, and usually as they first come out, I put them on sale for just a short period of time. Then I lock them up in my courses, which means once I build a course around it, and I have all the teachings and DVDs and book and workbook and everything with it, when I do that, it's locked out to where you cannot buy it anymore individually. You have to buy the course with it. So I would encourage each one of you right now, go to the website and order the book or the ebook. So you can go to identitynetwork.net, and you can order According to the Heavenly Pattern, According to the Heavenly Pattern, The Seer's School on God's Imagination. And I would encourage you, get it today. Get it right now while it's available. All right? If you want to call the office to order it, you can call us at 205-362-7135. 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. And just say, hey, I heard Jeremy's book on the broadcast, and I want to be able to order that. It's called According to the Heavenly Pattern, The Seer's School on God's Imagination. Just tell me you wanted an e-book or book, and we'll make sure we get it in your hands. All right, so God bless you. Thank you again for tuning into our broadcast. I look forward to hearing from you soon. And until our next broadcast, have an amazing day.